Kelly settled into a spot across the street from the brownstone Archie had told him about, waiting for the road runner to arrive. His eyes continuously swept left and right, checking the block. So far, nothing out of the ordinary. Finally, Kelly thought to himself. It was 2:15 when the road runner appeared. He settled back into the shadows, turning his head to give the man a good look. Billy and his sidekick, laughing as they got out, walked into the house on the corner. Kelly rose, crossing the street and heading to the brownstone with his accustomed, drunken gait. The door, he confirmed as he passed by, wasn't locked. As he moved, he began planning his mission for the following night. This was the next really big step forward, and he couldn't risk blowing it. He headed up the block, his eyes fixed on the two drug dealers he nicknamed Bob, 1/4 mile away. This was another test. He had to be sure of himself. He weaved his uncertain path towards them, glancing at his targets. Both men were larger than he and quite formidable. Better to pass by, leave them be. No. But he did pass by first. He moved his right hand and pulled out the Colt automatic, wrapping both hands around it. His arms extended full length. Big Bob saw the move, but he moved too late. Kelly depressed the trigger twice, and without shifting his feet, he swiveled right toward Little Bob, who was reaching for his own weapon at his hip. The two shots entered the temple, caroming off the skull and racing around inside like a hamster in a cage. Kelly lingered only long enough to be sure that both were dead, then turned and moved on. 6, he thought, heading for the corner. It was 2:56 as Kelly began his evasion drill. Her name was Virginia Charles, and her night wasn't going well. A nurse's aide, her shift had run long, and she walked quickly. How the neighborhood had changed, she thought. She'd been mugged twice in the previous year, and the memories kept her alert. One more block to go, she told herself, turning a corner.
"Hey, Mama, spare a dollar," a voice said behind her.
She kept moving, but a hand grabbed her from behind.
"Give me money, bitch," the voice said in a matter-of-fact manner. "Ain't got enough to interest you, boy," Virginia Charles said, still moving.
Then she heard a click.
"I'll cut you,"
the voice said, still calm. That sound frightened her. She stopped and opened her small purse. Once she would have screamed, but now it would be meaningless. She extracted her $5 bill.
$5 whole, the youth smirked. "Come on, or I'll cut you." "It's all I have." "More, or you bleed."
Kelly turned the corner. There were 2 people, not 20 feet away from his rusting Volkswagen, and one held a knife. Shit, he stopped cold. If anything serious happened here, the police would come right to this place. Might be here for hours, and he'd left 2 dead bodies less than 1/4 mile behind him. This was not good. The boy cut the woman's upper arm, the red clear in the glow of the street lights. Virginia Charles gasped and tried to pull away, her eyes fixed on something behind the mugger. The youth turned to see a wino 10 feet away.
"Maybe you got some money too, Pop,"
he asked, taking a step toward the man. Kelly reached for his gun, but the silencer caught on his waistband, and the mugger moved toward him quickly. The mugger was surprised how easily the wino batted his lunge aside, then stepped inside its arc. A right to the solar plexus deflated his lungs. Kelly grabbed the hand, then stepped over the body as it headed for the pavement. An extended ripping sound announced the dislocation of the youth's shoulder. "Why don't you go home, ma'am?" he told Virginia Charles quietly, turning his face away and hoping she hadn't seen it very well. The nurse's aide left without a word, holding the wound on her arm. Kelly watched her go, grateful that she didn't need any help. The would-be mugger was starting to moan now, and this one had definitely seen his face close up. Shit, Kelly thought again. Well, he'd attempted to hurt a woman, and he'd attacked Kelly with a knife, both of them possible attempts at murder. Kelly took the knife from his limp hand and shoved it hard into the base of his skull, leaving it there. Within a minute, his Volkswagen was 1 block away. 7, he told himself, turning east. Shit. It was becoming more routine than the morning coffee and Danish at his desk, Lieutenant Ryan told himself. 2 pushers down, both with a pair of 22s in the head, but not robbed this time. No loose shells around, no sign of a struggle. Then had come the call from only a few blocks away, and he and Douglas had rolled to that one. The call had identified the new one as interesting. Whoa, Douglas said, getting out. One did not often see a knife sticking in the back of a head. They weren't kidding. What the hell is the matter with the arm? Ryan asked the medical examiner. The victim's shoulder appears to be wrecked. Somebody damn near tore the arm off. You can see the cause of death, the man replied. Lieutenant, over here, a uniformed sergeant called. This is Virginia Charles. She lives a block over. She reported the crime. Are you okay, Miss Charles? Ryan asked. Within minutes, Ryan had a goodly quantity of information. A bum, you say? Wino, that's the bottle he dropped, she pointed. Douglas picked it up with the greatest care. Can you describe him? Lieutenant Ryan asked. How strong do you have to be to do that, I wonder? Ryan asked later.
Sure as hell isn't Wally Cox, the M.E. observed. The knife severed the spinal cord just where it enters the medulla. Death was instantaneous.
He already had the guy crippled, Ryan mused. White, 40 or older, medium size, long black hair. Dirty. Ryan looked at his notes. Go home, ma'am, he told Virginia Charles.
Am. In the past few weeks, we've seen 4 very expert murders and 6 very dead victims, Douglas noted.
4 different M.O.s, Ryan mused. But this one doesn't fit. If you're talking about a really clever guy, why let somebody see him? Why let her leave? Why talk to her? Hell, why take this guy out at all?
A wino with a sense of justice, Douglas prodded. Whoever took this punk down.
Yeah, I know. He wasn't Wally Cox. But who, and what the hell, was he? Thank God for gloves, Kelly thought, looking at the bruises on his right hand. What would the police know? The physical description would not be a good one, and most important, he'd never touched the wine bottle with ungloved hands. He only needed one more night. He took a deep breath. If he'd watched that lady get hurt worse, or killed, how would he be able to look in a mirror? He'd made the best of a bad situation. It was time to set his thoughts aside. There were other responsibilities as well. Kelly lifted his phone and dialed.
Greer.
Clark, Kelly responded. We're going to need you soon. It started. That's fast, Kelly thought. Damn. Okay, sir. I hope you're in shape, Greer said. I think I can hold up, sir. Ever been to Quantico? No, Admiral. Bring your boat. There's a marina there. Sunday morning, 10 sharp. We'll be waiting, Mr. Clark. Aye, aye. The phone clicked off. Sunday morning. It was going too fast, and it made his other mission all the more urgent.